B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah? 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, here's your Red Sox Minute. Manny Machado
signs yesterday. We immediately looked to Mookie Betts and say, what does that mean for him? Were we talking about the wrong guy, Maz? And who should we be talking about?
Yep, but we whiffed. I whiffed because I immediately went to Betts when I saw his name in the story that Jeff Passan wrote. And the reality is the guy we should be talking about is Bogarts. What does Machado's contract mean for Bogarts? And so he's not as good as Machado. That's just a fact. He's not. He's not as, he doesn't have the power, the production, all of that. So you say, okay, fine. So maybe 75% of Machado? That's what you want to say based on last year?
Well, we're going to look at some of the stats, but go ahead.
Okay, so if he's 75% of Machado, you're going to give him 7 or 8 years and $22.5 million a year? You're going to do that?
Are you?
Nope.
Why not?
Because he's not worth it. I like Bogarts as a player. I always have. Okay, although I was ready to trade him 2 years ago because I felt like he was never going to reach his ceiling. He finally had a good year last year. And when I say a good year, something close to his potential. Okay, I think he's even capable of a little more than last year. But nonetheless, that was good. It was a good year. And yet I look at it and say, of all the guys they have up, Betts, Sale.
And different times. Bogart's up after this year.
Correct.
Betts has 2 more years.
J.D. Martinez could opt out after this year, so he could be a factor. All those guys, I put Bogarts fourth. Fourth. To me, he's the fourth most important guy.
That's Sale, you said J.D. Martinez?
Yep, I put Sale ahead of Bogarts, believe it or not. And because I said to you, I would wait on Sale, but I didn't say let him go.
You'd prioritize Martinez or Xander Bogarts?
I would.
Everyday young shortstop?
I would.
Is Xander Bogarts...
J.D. Martinez a game changer in my mind.
Is Xander Bogarts a top five shortstop in the game?
No.
He's not? He's not.
I mean, off the top of my head, do you count Machado?
So, yes. So, I mean, I just, again, playing around with the stats. So, OPS.
Okay.
Okay, ranking at OPS. Number one OPS at the shortstop position. I bet you a lot of people haven't even heard of this player, which is a whole nother conversation about that position. How the shortstop used to be a glamour position. And maybe it's a comment on the sport, too. But certainly that position used to be... If you were the top offensive guy at that position, you were A-Rod. You were a superstar.
Sure.
Who's Trevor Story? You know who that is, Murray?
Colorado.
Yeah, Rockies.
Okay.
Barely. So you know what? I would say throw him out.
No, I mean, you know, but I bet you a lot of people went, Trevor Story, Trevor Story, Trevor Story. Who the hell is that? Yeah, he plays in Colorado, so the numbers are inflated.
Exactly. Plays on the moon.
So Trevor Story's number one OPS at shortstop last year. This is just last year's regular season. OPS of 914. Next on the list, Manny Machado at 905. Third on the list, Xander Bogarts, 883. In all Major League Baseball, American League, National League. So the third highest OPS in Major League Baseball last year at
just
the shortstop position.
Wet my whistle. Where's Lindor?
Lindor is fifth.
Okay.
Fifth at 871. Javi Baez with the Cubs is in between those. Baez is fourth. Lindor is fifth. Didi Gregorius is sixth. And then again, this we get into... Jerkson Profar?
Oh, yeah. Rangers.
Okay. Maz, you know you're a baseball guy. The rest of you.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Of course, he's more of a utility guy.
How about Keitel Marte?
No, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Arizona, ever hear of him? You ever hear of Trey Turner?
Yeah.
Nationals,
yeah.
Okay.
Where's Carlos Correa on that list?
He had a bad year last year.
Yeah.
Carlos Correa is not even...
Yeah, the foot injury.
He wasn't even in the top 20. Maybe he didn't qualify.
Well, he had a bad year last year.
I'm not sure.
Because I'd rather have him than Bogarts.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, he's nasty. Nasty good meaning. Okay, so he's got the third highest OPS among shortstops last year. Because I don't have the capability on my, because I'm stupid and old.
I have it. Go.
Last 3 years, where is he ranking OPS?
Oh, you said OPS. I did war.
Yeah, so, okay.
Okay, but I'll give you OPS.
Okay.
Fine. Sixth.
Among shortstops, sixth in OPS over the last 3 years.
Yeah, and I did a minimum of 200 games at the position over 3 years.
Give me the top six.
Okay, Trevor Story, Corey Seager, the Dodgers, Lindor, Correa, Turner, Bogarts.
Okay, he's a top, I mean, if he's six, you can't make the case he's a top five shortstop in the game?
No, I don't think he is. I mean, again, I think, you know, Lindor's a terrific player. So I look at Lindor and I say, you know, he's one of the key. Now, look, when I sorted it this way, too, Machado didn't come up because 200 squeezed him out. But nonetheless, you should include Machado
you
in
should.
There, too.
You should. He's going to play short for San Diego, yeah?
Yeah. So, I mean, I one or the other. And again, he can play short. And I would tell you Lindor is better. Correa's better. Sager's better. Machado's better. Who am I leaving out?
Trey Turner in Washington is better.
I mean, it's close. So then you get to guys who are, you know, on the bubble with him.
Would you rather Bogarts or Gregorius?
Didi Gregorius. If he's healthy, Didi Gregorius. Especially in that ballpark.
Why?
He's been more consistent. Look at what Gregorius has done in New York year after year. 20 homers, 80, 90 RBI, 300, automatic. And he plays good defense.
It was a different approach for Bogarts last year at the plate. And with the power he showed, do you just think it was kind of a fluke?
I need to see him sustain it before I believe that that's who he is.
If you want to go to war, which I had you look up before, again, the three-year sample I think is better than just, you know, year to year, because the 3 years I think gives you a more sustained look at what the player is. But if we're just going by war last year, and again, there's different variations of this. This is ESPN.com. In war at the shortstop position, Bogarts ranked 11th. But it's obviously not because of the offense, because offensively, he's a top three guy. So this is because now of the fielding and the base running and all this other nonsense.
He's a good base runner, though. I think it's got more to do with the defense.
So we hate war. We shouldn't put much stock into it, because I think it's too subjective with the zone ratings and the defensive metrics and all that. I don't like it. But he ranked 11th in war last year. Where does he rank over the last three?
10th.
Okay, so,
and again, that's excluding Machado, because I put a 200-game filter on it. Over 3 years, you should play 200 games of shortstop. But if you want to lower the list a little and make it 100 games, he drops to 12th. So now, look, I think Bogarts defensively is fine. I think he's a B player defensively, maybe B-. Okay, but it's fine. I mean, he didn't make any mistakes in the postseason last year. But I said this to you in the email exchange this morning. What was the most memorable play for Xander Bogarts in the postseason last year?
I can't remember.
Do you remember one?
I don't.
There really was.
Ooh, I do.
What is it?
It was the meaningless home run in game two against the Yankees in the first round.
Okay, so again, meaningless. But I don't remember anything from Bogarts in the postseason. None. And if you were saying to me, like, you know, Murray, I know Murray was down on Mookie Betts, as was I, because he batted 200 again in the playoffs. Defensively, though, in the Houston series in that game in Houston, he was a factor.
Yeah, you're right.
He was dynamite in that game defensively. Made game-changing plays.
Especially when the fan closed his glove for him.
But remember also, he threw out a guy at second base in the eighth inning or whatever it was. Like, so I remember that. That sticks out. Bogarts, zip.
And I'll tell you, Bogarts to me, and Shaughnessy wrote about this during the Globe, is just, he just, and I'm talking as a talk show host, very little impact. Like, again, this guy's up at the end of the year. He is anywhere from a top 5 to top 10 shortstop in the game. Everyday ball player, cornerstone of a championship team. He's won 2, in fact. He's one of the better shortstops in the game, right, Shaughnessy? And this could be his last year in a Red Sox uniform. And where's the panic? Where's the outrage? The impending free agency of Jacoby Ellsbury was a far bigger deal back in 2013, he says.
Not to me, it wasn't.
Fans stormed the gates of Fenway when the Red Sox blundered in their attempt to keep John Lester in 2014.
That was a big deal.
Never mind going back to Mo Vaughn and that stuff. He called his bosses the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I was there. It was great.
He claimed they were tailing him, right? That they were spying on him.
Yep.
And whatnot. Bogarts? Meh. It's like a nothing. Is that a reflection on the sport, the team, him?
How about all the above? So it's a different time now. That's number one. But also, I think it tells you about the player and where he fits. So the Bogarts, to me, is a complimentary guy. He's not a cornerstone guy. As much as I like him, I got really frustrated. It took a long time for him to have that year last year. He's a good player. I don't know if he's a great player. I'd let him go.
So, but the position, man, it ain't what it used to be. When you look at it, you just war, because I have it up. Here are the top 11 guys in war. And just, Maz, you don't answer because you're a BBWA member.
Okay, fine.
But just Boston, tell me who these guys are. Francisco Lindor, Cleveland, you know him.
Right.
Javi Baez. I thought he was a second baseman. He's nasty defensively. Okay, number three. Andrelton Simmons?
Andrelton Simmons. He's with the Angels.
Murray knows him because he used to play for the Braves.
That's the only thing Murray knows?
F-off. Okay.
Boston, did you know him? I obviously don't. 4 is Manny Machado. 5 is this Trevor Story. 6, it's Gene Segura, right? Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You hear from Boston? You know Gene Segura?
He's now in Philly.
Is he?
I think.
Who's Marcus Simeon? Anyone?
Not allowed.
Anyone?
Brother of Trevor.
Huh?
Not the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, by the way. I'm just trying to make a joke. Don't make jokes, Murray.
Don't make jokes. I'm not ready for him.
I don't know.
Marcus Simeon plays for Oakland.
Oakland.
Boston left.
Sucks defensively.
Number 8, Didi Gregorius. You know him from the Yankees. That right. One you know. Number 9, Trey Turner. You don't know him.
Washington
Nationals. We already said this.
I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to Boston. You don't know him.
Boston can hear me too.
Don't lie, Boston. You've never heard of Trey Turner. You don't care about Trey Turner.
Fantasy players have.
Staying out of it.
Number 10, Paul DeJong.
Cardinals? Oh.
He's in Korea.
Very good. Cardinals. Cardinals, yeah. Murray.
With Cardinals. That program.
Cardinals. Number 11, Bogarts. Again, just war. Number 12, again, Keitel Marte. Number 13, Nick Ahmed. Anyone?
No.
Is he
idea.
One of our callers?
Boston, anyone? Brandon Crawford. Maz?
San Francisco.
Very good. You don't count. Boston, Brandon Crawford. Crawford, anyone? Is that the guy that looks like Booger? Again, with the long, straggly hair?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, okay. I know that guy's look.
I'm just going to stay here in the background until you need me.
I'm just telling you, the position's gone to caca.
Might be a while.
It used to be a glamour position.
I actually think it's gotten better the last couple of years. Lindor and Correa are legit.
Yeah.
Those two guys are studs.
How come Correa doesn't show up on my list?
Because he had a bad year.
Hurt. Okay.
Yeah, he had a bad year. He had a horrible. He had like 235 or 240 or something. He was a horrible year.
He was 26th and more at shortstop. He hit 239, had 402 plate appearances, so I don't know how many games that he missed there. Quite a few, obviously.
Yeah, he had a shoulder problem or something. He wasn't right, but the year before, he was an MVP candidate.
Anyway, there's your Red Sox minute on Xander Bogaerts. Do they have to sign him? Do you care about Xander Bogaerts? Take him or leave him? Your thoughts right after this.
Tugger and Maz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What's your thoughts about re-signing Bogaerts and Sale before the season?
You addressed that this morning.
These are Bogaerts is an extraordinarily great player. Sale, Mookie Betts. We'd love to be able to have a long-term contract with all of them, but our conversations with them, which are ongoing, are private, and I think that's the best way to consummate a deal if one can be made.
Would there have been conversations that with both Sale and Xander?
Conversations have been had, but I don't really want to get into any further details, except that, as I said, you know, these are great players, and in a perfect world, we'd love them to be with us for the rest of their career.
All right, Maz. So you're not paying. Well, what are you paying Xander Bogaerts? What would you give him? What's a fair number?
I mean, on the current market, I'd say Bogaerts is in the, you know what I mean? It's under 20 for sure.
Well, so let me just give you one more little list here. There's the highest paid shortstops in the game based on AAV, according to Spotrac. Manny Machado, now $30 million a year. That's number one with a bullet. Number two, Elvis Andrus with Texas, $15 million a year.
Right.
Gene Segura, $14 million a year. Brandon Crawford, 12.5. Bogaerts is actually fifth on the list right now at 12.
Right, arbitration settlement.
Okay.
Settlement. He didn't go to a hearing, they settled.
So that's what he's right now is the number five AAV at shortstop. Behind him are Gregorius, Lindor. Lindor makes 10.5. And on down the list. So based on that, what should he be making?
Okay, so again, see, Machado throws the whole thing out of whack.
Sure does.
And so what worries me here is that Boris is going to use that as some sort of metric and say he's going to come in the 20s, and he's not a $20 million player. Sorry, he's not. So if you want to tell me that the number 16, sign him. Fine. 16's a number. I'm in. And I tell you, you can go as high as 18 if you want in this market, in this climate.
You're okay with him being the second highest paid shortstop, but it's got to be a deep drop from Machado.
Absolutely. If he's in the 20s, I'm out. I'm out. He's not that kind of guy. And so now, again, the scale has changed. So, you know, you have to weigh it differently. And by the way, Lindor, Correa, those guys are $20 million players. Those guys are in that group. They're closer to Machado. Bogarts is not. I'm not giving him that. By the way, in the comment we just played, just as a quick aside, boy, Rick Porcello must have low self-esteem right now, huh? They think he sucks.
Oh, they don't even mention him. They,
his name never even comes up. He's up at the end of the year. Porcello's in the same boat as all these guys. Sales up. J.D. Martinez could opt out. Bogarts is up. We're talking about Mookie Betts more than we are Rick Porcello. Right. You know what that means? Bye-bye!
All right, so your thoughts on the Xander Bogarts thing mixed in with our Odell Beckham conversation and the daily nonsense from Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics. Let's take a Paul and Blackstone on Xander Bogarts. You want him, Paul?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, real quick, since you just hit on it, I'm pretty sure that they signed Rick Porcello's ticket out of town when they gave Evaldi that stupid deal. Tony, give me a break with I'll take Didi Gregorius over Xander Bogarts. That's nonsense. Mike,
wait a minute. Why is that nonsense?
Do that on your own time. That's not why I called. Mike, Gene Segura played for the Brewers for 5 years. He's a freaking all-star, and you don't know how to pronounce his name.
No,
that's
I don't.
Up your baseball cash.
Yeah.
You know. So, to my point, Tony, I get it. You hate the Red Sox.
I don't hate the Red Sox. Compare Gregorius.
Why do you always? Go ahead.
Compare Gregorius over the last 3 years to Bogarts.
Why do you always talk such nonsense when it comes to the Red Sox players? Though you sit there and just completely write Carlos Correa a free check. Mike's here telling us that nobody knows who Trey Turner is, and then we're crapping on Bogarts after he had the best season of his career and pumping up Manny Machado, whose career OPS is .822. Bogarts was 70 points higher last year. Can we just calm down with the hyperbole and the nonsense?
Well, at least we got a baseball guy. At least I'll take that.
Mike, I would like to introduce you to the Cincy Red Sox fan. Okay, that's what this is. Paul and Blackstone's a Cincy Red Sox fan. Nobody is pumping up Manny Machado. He's a terrific talent. He's also a pain in the ass.
Give me Gregorius versus Bogarts, please.
Okay, the last 3 years, Gregorius has basically been 20-80 every year. Like, he's doing it every season, for crying out loud. You want me to rattle them off for you? 278, 2070, 287, 2587, 268 this past year, 2786, and he was hurt. His OPS in those 3 years, 751, 796, 829. Combined, his OPS in those years is 791, basically 800. Year in, year out, 2580. And defensively, good. Where's the gray area? He's been a better player than Bogarts the last 3 years. There's no bias there. I'm sorry that I'm not wearing my Red Sox thong for you.
Apologize, Maz.
That I'm picking out from between my butt cheeks for crying out loud.
Brody in Portland. Go ahead, Brody.
Big baby.
Real quick, am I the only one that got a sick amount of pleasure out of it being Jones asking Brad Stevens the questions?
Oh, it was great. He did not do the OG Willikers thing, but I wanted him to.
You could tell he wanted it. Yeah, you could tell he wanted to, though, when he was like, oh, and he couldn't get a pool on the road. Like, you could tell he just didn't want to blow up Biedelenzo's spot, but he wanted to lay into him. On Kyrie, I'm sick of this guy. Like, he wants to be known as a savant. I mean, this is the same guy that believes in flat earth conspiracy theories and gets his financial advice from CNBC. He sounds more like my Nana than he does the Rain Man. I mean, like, he needs to, every time he opens his mouth, it's verbal diarrhea. And I, for one, like, I'm at the point where it's like, I don't care if he helps us win an extra 10 games a year. Like, without an additional piece and Anthony Davis isn't coming here, we should have shipped this guy out of town at the deadline. You know, traded Andy made a mistake.
So we'll see. I would not have been opposed to that. I've, you know, coming around to more trouble than he's worth. I need to see him actually lead you deep. Stay healthy, lead you deep. And then we'll see if he's worth the trouble. To this point, he hasn't been. To this point, he hasn't been, but let's see. Okay? That'll say something. But, there, you know, in Foxborough and a lot of football teams, your old Green Bay Packers, like, football has to be important to you. It has to be, it used to be God, family, and the Green Bay Packers. Okay? So a lot of teams sort of adopt that. It's your God, your family, and your profession. And if there's anything else that's not in that top, you know, if those aren't your top three, then you got to watch out for that guy. If anything is more important to you than your family or your work or your God, then what are we doing here? And with Kyrie, I wonder about that stuff. And I'll leave the God thing out of it.
I mean, we know what the talent is, but does he strike you as maniacal as Tom Brady or Michael Jordan or the greats of the greats or even LeBron?
I mean, again, all the stuff that he's saying, he's the other stuff is more important to him. And as you know, it's makes him a good human being, I suppose, that he cares about all these world issues. So I'm not saying he's a bad person because of that, but do I want him on my team? Like, is that what I want leading my franchise? A guy who's more interested in being asked about the effing election than he is about... It's like, no, I don't want that guy. Go do that on your own time.
Listen, I'm telling you, again, the worst thing that ever happened to this guy is he won a title when he was young.
And now it sounds like he wants to host on NPR. Like, he just wants to be taken seriously so badly when it comes to world issues. Like, dude, all right.
Why can't you
start a blog?
What is so wrong about being devoted to, obsessed, and caring only about your profession and trying to be as good as you can at it?
While you're in your prime. So what's that going to be? Just a handful more years?
Why does that make you a bad person?
It doesn't.
I mean, why does that make you, some sort of, I don't know, simpleton or something? That your goal is to be as good as you can possibly be at your profession to provide for your family. Like, what? I mean, I don't need any more than that. These guys that need more than that, I don't get it.
No, because ultimately what you're talking about is things that you can control. This guy wants to control all the other stuff that goes along with it, too. And then beyond it, and I meant to say this the other day, Murray, and I forgot, so I'll do it now. Did you read the comments he had about the coming off the injury and playing in the All-Star game and how he basically said the whole thing was a result of the hard work that he put in, otherwise he'd have been hurt worse?
Yeah.
Like, so now he's even taking credit for not getting hurt.
It's all that time in the pool.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me. Like he had to pat himself on the back for his training regimen because that is ultimately what allowed him to avoid a catastrophic knee injury.
Thank God he stayed behind from that Philly trip so he could go in the pool.
I said, you've got to be kidding me. Like, you can't even discuss an injury without saying, well, actually, no, we're lucky because I put in the hard work here. That's how it came off.
Neil in Westfield, should the Sox re-sign Xander Bogaerts?
Maz, I may have my Red Sox song on right now, but I have to say this. Bogaerts needs to be signed before Sale. He's a consistent, productive professional. He's a leader, two-time champion. And the only reason why he had a bad year 2 years ago is because of his hand injury. And by the way...
What about the year before that?
You have to know who Nick Ahmed is, too. He was born and raised in Massachusetts, Gold Glove winner, Arizona Diamondbacks.
Okay, I just don't know Major League Baseball like I used to or like I should. If you want to say that, fine. But I look at the list of these shortstops, and I am like, who are these guys? Who are these guys? Sorry. I don't know it like I should. I don't play fantasy baseball either. And I don't watch neutral site baseball. Do you? Boston? You guys watch neutral site baseball? Who? Anyone? Do they even...
I do.
They even play neutral site baseball games on ESPN anymore? Then they cut that contract in half or something?
They eliminated baseball tonight.
Yeah, they don't even do baseball tonight. Right, I can't even tell you who's hitting the home runs anymore.
Right, and they moved up the starting time, right? The game starts earlier now, too?
I don't even know.
Thank God.
So,
Dong Report with Adam Jones coming soon.
There you go.
That's how you track ones now, the Dong Report.
And the baseball reporters, Jimmy.
So,
Trivia Tuesday.
Do you think they will sign him for more than $20 million? Do you think if Boris said, you know, 5 and 100, they would do it?
Ooh, that's right on the line. No. Nope.
You don't think the Sox will sign him for more than $20 million a year?
I don't. Nope. I think that they're going to have to make some... Now, look, some of it may depend on whether they know what Betts is doing. So if they know Betts is gone, then maybe they would. Like, they're not going to lose them both. But to me, again, those four guys, J.D. Martinez, Sale, Betts, and Bogaerts, if you put them in order, who's most important? Betts is number one. Who's last?
I'm going Bogaerts over Martinez because of the age. I mean, you don't have another shortstop in the system, right? You don't have another guy that's close.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Martinez, given his age, you know, I don't know. Would I rather have J.D. Martinez for the next two or Bogaerts for the next eight?
J.D. Martinez.
I think I'd rather have my shortstop.
J.D. Martinez. I'm telling you, game changer.
Okay. All right.
I say game changer. He's a game changer. Bogaerts isn't.
This, Beckham, the Kyrie drama. We got one more thing to get to, and that is an update on a Bruins trade target who apparently isn't doing so well. We'll give it to you right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole tire tread as far as what happened today with him so we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved? He his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything. So he's not playing tonight.
No, did you find out early in the morning or did you know?
Doesn't matter, he's not playing tonight. Doing a time scale or something?
Just
or?
Didn't know what time. No.
He's sick. He's sick as a dog. Yes, he's very sick. That's why he's out.
So sick, in fact, he crapped his pants.
He shit his pants. He was puking. He was doing everything.
John Tortorella, head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Artemi Panarin, their big winger who is on the trade block, rumored to be probably gone by next Monday's trade deadline, mysteriously gets scratched before last night's game. I think they were in Montreal. He gets scratched. And Tortorella, the coach, is asked about it, and that's how he answers.
He his pants. He was puking. He was doing everything. So
this guy's a beaut.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
Torts.
So I can't remember if I saw this last night or this morning. It might have been in the middle of the night. Sometimes I'll actually wake up in the middle of the night and look at the Twitter feed. And so I played it. I almost crapped my pants laughing.
He shit his pants. He was puking. He was doing everything.
Seriously, this guy is, he's a peach.
Just how annoyed he got with the question. Just play the whole thing again.
He's sick, not eating, he's puking. You want me to go into the whole tire tread as far as what happened today with him so we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved? He shit his pants, he was puking, he was doing everything. So he's not playing tonight.
No, did you find out early in the morning or?
Doesn't matter, he's not playing tonight. Doing a time scale or something?
Just didn't know what time. No.
He's sick. He's sick as a dog. Yes, he's very sick. That's why he's out.
Okay, we're not trading him. Do you really want to know? He crapped his pants.
So we can get that speculation done with as far as that he's going to be moved. He shit his pants. He was puking. He was doing everything. So
appreciate the transparency there, Coach.
So good.
I do. I love sort of the follow-up, too, like, so did you hear this morning?
When did he crap his pants?
Yeah. No, did you find out early in the morning or did you
doesn't matter. He's not playing tonight. Doing a time scale or something?
Yeah.
Or?
Didn't know what time.
Timeline.
When did he when did the crap actually hit his underwear?
It just doesn't matter. He's not playing tonight.
It's the rules of journalism. Who, what, when, where, why. Yeah, so I need to know when.
When did you learn of the evacuation, Coach?
Yeah. No, I just said the when's important. I'm putting together a little timeline. So I need to know when he crapped his pants. And I do. I love Tortorella's response. He's like, what the hell do you need to know? Why do you?
It doesn't matter. He's not playing tonight. Doing a time scale or something?
Just didn't know what time. No.
He's sick. He's sick as a dog. Yes, he's very sick. That's why he's out.
So here's what you write, okay, buddy? Just write earlier in the day. Okay, you don't need to know exactly when he crapped his pants, but it happened earlier in the day. So we pulled the plug on it. He's not playing tonight. He's not feeling well. Yeah, but when did that happen? When did he puke first or did he crap his pants first? Which one happened? Did it happen simultaneously? Because you got to lay it all out. Those are the rules. Who, what, when, where, why? Got to know. Somewhere there's some editor going, find out when he crapped his pants. Find out what happened first. Did he crap his pants first or did he puke first? Or did he actually puke and crap his pants at the same time?
We need to know. We're going to put that behind the paywall.
The guy lost control of every bodily orifice in the hours leading up to the game. Let's get the timeline down. Oh, God. Tortorella's answer is great.
He's unbelievable.
Like, what the hell do you need to know that for? Trust me, he's not playing.
He crapped his pants. What do you want to know? So, anyway, I don't know if that crosses him off the list or he's even more available now. I don't know. But Bruins back at it tonight in Vegas. Catch the game here on 98.5 The Sports. So we'll talk about it tomorrow. Coming up next, we'll reset our top items, and that is Odell Beckham. Do you want him? Gasper seems to want him. Gasper seems to think in the Globe that it could really happen, which has me scratching my head. We got that. And Kyrie Irving once again throwing his teammates under the bus. We'll get to those two stories right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Teammate Marcus Morris did say that it hasn't been fun. It hasn't been fun even when we've been winning a lot. Have you felt that?
It's been a trying year for us, you know, because we basically have a bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. And that's okay. But there's a maturity that you have to have. There's a professionalism that you have to really showcase every single day. And that's what the great ones do. You know, I initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like, why do I have to wait for anybody? You know, Terry Rozier is a, you know, he played in the playoffs. He did extremely well. Coming back, that's a natural competition that me and him have. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, no one wants to say it, but I will. It's part of their growth. When you have winning in mind, then, you know, you just, you got to understand that. You got to do what it takes, but you got to understand your teammates.
So condescending. It was Kyrie with Rachel Nichols on ESPN, presumably recorded over the weekend in Charlotte during the All-Star game, aired today on ESPN. So condescending. Again, talking about the trying year and immediately calling out the young guys and immediately saying that you have to be more professional and that, you know, even look at me, I wasn't getting the minutes that I wanted, but being professional, that's what the great ones do. So that's what I'm doing. And you all have to understand that.
And I'm willing to teach these young men, but they don't want to hear it. If anything, they're talking back to me, and they're not on my level. He carries himself like he's a college professor.
He really does. Oh, God, he's insufferable.
Once again, throwing his young teammates right under the bus.
I mean, it's the wrong way to go about it. He just puts up this wall between himself and everyone else, and then he stands on it and looks down at everyone. That's the thing. It's like, you know, if you're going to preach the team concept, if you didn't like it when LeBron was getting all the attention, then why are you emulating him? Like, this is the part I don't get.
And why is he surprised by some of the actions of these young players, and specifically Jaylen Brown, when they got to within a game of the NBA Finals without you last year? What do you expect?
Jimmy, would you just cue the comment up one more time? I just like deconstructing it a little bit because... so condescending.
A bunch of young men in our locker room that feel like they're capable of doing a lot more than what they're doing. And that's okay. But there's a maturity that you have to have. There's a professionalism that you have to really showcase every single day. And that's what the great ones do. You know, I initially didn't play the minutes I wanted to play. I'm 26 years old, heading into my prime. Like, why do I have to wait for anybody? You know, Terry Rozier is a, you know, he played in the playoffs. He did extremely well. Coming back, that's a natural competition that me and him have. Like, it's just, it is what it is. Like, no one wants to say it, but I will. It's part of their growth. When you have winning in mind, then, you know, you just, you got to understand that. You got to do what it takes, but you got to understand your teammates.
Why has it been a rough year, young men? You have to show maturity and professionalism. That's what the great ones do. Why am I getting my minutes cut into? You know, but I'm showing the maturity and professionalism because I'm one of the great ones. Now you kids got to figure it out.
These young men. He's talking like a professor or a drill sergeant.
Yeah, he talks down to them all the time. I mean, you know, and again, see, I sound like one of these old bastards who's romanticizing something from 10 years ago. I never felt like Garnett talked to his teammates this way. Garnett was a leader, but he never talked down to them. He just said, no, this is the way we're going to do it, and this is why. But, you know, he also supported his teammates. This guy just sounds like Like, you guys don't belong in the same room with me.
So, and he's doing it in front of a camera or with a microphone stuck in his face. I wonder if he's actually having these conversations with any of these young guys on the team. It certainly didn't come off that way.
So you just, you know, you wonder what's been going on with that team. And there's just that disconnect between really him and the younger players. And I don't know how stuff like this makes it better because he just continues to be so damn condescending. And on national TV at All-Star Weekend, it's like, good God, man, give it a rest.
I mean, Kyrie's 26, right?
Yeah.
Terry Rozier's 24.
I was going to say, there's really not that big of a gap.
It's 2 years. LeBron's 10 years older than Kyrie. Like, LeBron had won, you know, like, multiple titles before he went back to Cleveland.
Just say it's amazing. All the things that Kyrie ran from is what he's now pulling on the Celtics. Remember what LeBron called Kyrie on the way out the door?
Son?
Kid.
Kid.
Remember, I tried to do everything I could for the kid? I tried to take the kid under my wing. Remember, he had one of these condescending interviews where he was talking about Kyrie when Kyrie left 2 years ago.
Totally right.
Now Irving's doing the exact same thing. It's unbelievable. He wants to be LeBron. So they aired this on ESPN this morning, which led to a conversation between Mike Greenberg and Jalen Rose, which I found interesting. We'll play it for you here.
Long-term future, do you believe this is Kyrie's last year in Boston?
I do. I really do. And it's not because Danny Ainge hasn't done a terrific job. It's basically based on what he just said. He doesn't seem happy there, and they don't necessarily seem happy to have him there. And I think at the end of the season, when they don't make it to the NBA Finals, as I predict, that's where the change is going to
come. Listen, Kyrie's a brilliant player, but he wasn't happy in Cleveland and they were winning, and now he's not happy in Boston and they're winning. So what does that mean if a guy's on two different situations where they're winning and he's not happy?
He got to find his own show. He thought he was getting that in Boston, but it became a turnkey situation because they were already good. Normally, you don't leave LeBron James in Cleveland and get traded to a team that's better. That's what happened to Kyrie. Better GM, better coach, better young talent, better assets that they can build their team. So now all of a sudden, players like Brown and Rozier, they're like, I want to prove that I'm a starter in the game. That's what he alluded to.
Okay. So,
I mean, I think Jalen Rose is excellent on that show, by the way, particularly in the NBA stuff. But I think he's excellent. And the point by Greenberg, talk about hitting it out of the park. You with Cleveland, you weren't happy there.
And you're winning everywhere.
Right. Now you come here and you're unhappy here. You're going to go now to New York after saying you wanted to get out of LeBron's shadow, and you're going to go be in Durant's shadow? That's what you're going to do there?
Well, so look, isn't it just simple as this? Winning's not the most important thing.
He's chronically unhappy.
Well, no, but
that's what it is.
If winning were the most important thing, he sticks it out in Cleveland. And if winning's the most important thing, he's not considering the flippin' Knicks or Nets over you. But winning's not the most important thing.
And if it was ever there, it came and went with that one ring that he has won with Cleveland. Like, it's just not, it's not high on his priority list. Now he's got these other things he wants to accomplish, more movies. He wants to be taken seriously and be talked about like how others talk about Martin Luther King and Maya Angelou. He's the chief of the tribe here. He wants to be taken seriously. Oh, he's just a giant pain in the ass. Brilliant basketball player. Love watching him play. I hope they can figure it out. They come here. But boy, he is just insufferable. We've said it a million times today, but there's really no other word.
He just keeps doing it with throwing those young kids under the bus, though.
These young men need to learn.
It keeps going back to that.
I mean, this guy doesn't know who he is or what he wants. He has no idea. I mean, on the one hand, he says he about winning and teaching the younger players. On the other, he's, you know, moving around from lily pad to lily pad to find the place that loves him the most. He's all over the place. He, you know, to me, he doesn't have a clue of who he is or what he wants to be. He really doesn't.
I'll give you one more thing here, and then we'll do to Odell Beckham. And that is, again, the local guys seem to think Kyrie's staying and Anthony Davis is coming here. You watch our network here, NBC Sports Boston at night, across the board, all of them. Yeah, Kyrie's staying, and yeah, they have a good shot at Anthony Davis. He's going to come here, and they're going to talk him into staying. It's like
embarrassing
across the board. Across the board. You listen to the national guys, the guys with no dog in the fight. Jalen Rose is like, yeah, he's gone. He didn't seem to like it there, and his teammates don't seem to like him, so what are they doing there? And on Anthony Davis, yeah, lip service at the All-Star weekend, but really? This, again, is Shams Charania. I can't pronounce the last name.
It's Charania.
Charania, Shams Charania.
He's on the down. It's okay.
I don't know what that means.
He's not he was going to be Woj, and now he's not Woj. He's on the decline.
Well, then why are we playing a sound?
Because you wanted to.
Well, let's not diminish the voice here. Otherwise, we wouldn't play it.
Yeah, it's your fault.
No, this guy's legit.
It is your fault.
This guy's legit. Otherwise, we wouldn't play the sound.
Sham Sharania.
No matter what you hear around here about
Shams in Decline Show 2-6.
No matter what you hear around here about Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving, the national guys say something different. Here's Shams on Anthony Davis.
I'm still told his four-team list of the Lakers, Clippers, Knicks, Bucks still exists in that order, in that amount of teams, that group of teams. There are a couple other teams undisclosed right now that he would also consider. The Celtics, I'm told, are still not a long-term destination for him in his mind, a preference in his mind. So the stuff with, you know, where the Celtics stand has not changed despite what Anthony Davis said over the weekend. Sources told me the Celtics are not in the as far as the long-term play, but listen, it's going to depend exactly on where the Pelicans want to trade him.
Okay, Shams was obviously in the crapper when he was doing it.
I was going to say someone pushed him down an elevator shaft.
No, he was in the
decline.
He was in the dumper.
Who's he working for now?
Thatstadium.com? Thestadium.com? Watchstadium.com?
Yeah, high quality.
Thecrapper.com.
Yeah, seriously.
Huh? From the bathroom.
And someone got pissed off and pushed him off the 11th floor.
Jimmy, do you think Anthony Davis wants to be here long term?
God, no.
Okay, so you agree with Shams.
If you're trading for Anthony Davis, it's 1 year, and you better not be trading Jason Tatum.
Okay. So, again, the more I heard Anthony Davis over the weekend, again, another one, and the more every time Kyrie Irving opens his yapper, I'm like, is this really worth it?
Isn't it obvious if Kyrie and Anthony Davis are such great friends that Anthony Davis knows that Kyrie Irving is leaving and thus doesn't want to come to Boston?
It seems pretty apparent. I don't know. That was the whole vibe.
But hey, what do I know, right?
What do I know, too? I don't know squat. I don't know Jack. So there's your Celtic reset. We'll give you the Odell Beckham reset. 90 seconds, no commercials right after the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.